From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
It's Danny, Dave, and Moore. Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore. And joining us here, training camp, kind of the open part of training camp starting to wind down. Jamar is with us. Jamar Taylor, welcome, man.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. How's camp going for you?
It's going well. It's going well. Having a lot of fun, making some plays. It's been a great time.
You've been a name that people may not know around here, but somebody who has been in the league for a number of years, former second-round pick, a guy from Boise State. What made you? What made Seattle appealing to you?
I think the history of it. You know, when me and my agent sat down and talked, we knew that they were kind of looking for like a nickel-type guy. I played nickel in the past. But then when you look at just the history of, you know, the organization, it's a great you know, top of the line organization. You hear about it all around the NFL, how energetic it is here, how great the team is here, and it's no other place in the NFL like it. So when I came out here on my visit, they called back, said they wanted to sign me. I think it was just like a no-brainer.
Yeah, was it easy to get into and get the defense? Because the one thing is the corners here, well, other than I'd say Justin Coleman, but for the most part, they've been homegrown. Like, there's been a couple veterans that have come in and not made it, and yet you're out there playing really well. Is it difficult? Is that just a, do you think that's just a fluke, or do you think it there is something to, like, when you're raised on the system, it makes it a little bit easier?
Well, I think, you know, as far as my career, I've had a lot of defense coordinators fired. So I've played under a lot of different defenses. So it's kind of easier for me to pick up a defense. I think my first couple of days here, I looked at the playbook, you know, install one, and I had a ton of questions. Yeah. And, you know, coaches sat down with me, the players sat down with me, and they just caught me up to speed really well. So I think that's the reason why I've been able to make, you know, a little bit of noise is because the coaches and the players in that locker room do a great job of helping out.
Do you prefer playing in the slot?
I play wherever. I just want to play football.
Yeah.
Play football, and I want to make plays. That's it.
So you've been a lot of places, Miami, Cleveland, Arizona, Denver. So we talked a little bit about this before. You're out there talking to DK Metcalf and, you know, kind of counseling him a little bit, which is really awesome. But it's not like that everywhere, right? I mean, Pete Carroll and just the way like we had Ugo Amadi, a rookie, in here, and he said Bobby Wagner came right up to him. Is that unusual in your experience?
Yeah, I think for me, like I was saying earlier, is when I got drafted by in Miami, my coach was more old school. My GM was more old school. You know, they were under what's the coach that used to coach for Dallas?
Parcells.
They were under Bill Parcells. So a lot of that was just, you know, a lot of just tough love there. Whereas here, Coach Pete has an each one, teach one kind of personality he kind of goes by. So you see players, older players, younger players always talking to one another. And just that instance right there was just, you know, like I said, it started off as a kind of cool conversation and kind of rolled around just talking about how to kind of keep your head in the game and kind of try to stay consistent.
Hey, Jamar, what's it been like for you? I mean, Dave mentioned the four teams in 5 months at one point. And so I imagine, is that right? I take this stuff off of Wikipedia, so it might be wrong.
I don't think that's true.
Okay, well, Miami, Cleveland, Arizona, Denver before you got here, right?
Yeah.
And so when you were drafted in the second round, you probably thought, I'm going to be with the Dolphins for a while. And so how do you stay up and even-keeled through all the ups and downs of the NFL?
Well, I didn't think I was going to be in Miami long. I knew once I got drafted there, it wasn't a good fit. I remember telling my agent that. I think the day they called, I was like, this is not going to be a good fit. And then when I got to Cleveland and I signed back with Cleveland, I actually thought I was going to be there for a while. Once I signed my extension, I thought I was going to end up signing another one because I was playing pretty well. And, you know, that kind of all blew up. Coaches got fired. You know, the GM kind of let us know that he was kind of going in a different direction. And then Arizona, you know, that was just what it was. But, you know, I just keep my faith. I keep my faith. I know I've put a lot of good things on tape. And with that being said, you know, I know who I am as a person and as a player. I know what I could bring to the game. And, you know, I keep my faith in God. You know, without my support system and him, I don't think I'd be able to, you know, I wouldn't have been able to keep my head in it.
We're talking to Jamar Taylor here, cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, and a guy who has had a heck of a preseason. there's a lot of this defensive backfield's had a huge reputation and the Legion of Boom and going back, and this is kind of the next generation, kind of 2.0, and Bradley McDougal is kind of the veteran back there. What are your impressions of the guys that are in that secondary?
The guys in the secondary are great. Starting with B-Mac, you know, I think me and him are like the oldest people in the room, me, him, and Shed now. And, you know, Shed played with the Legion of Boom. You have B-Mac kind of, you know, who was there before that kind of weeded out. They just bring so much energy, so much knowledge to the game. And then it kind of goes from B-Mac to Tedrick Thompson, who's been having a great camp, too, as well, flying around. And then you have, you know, Shaq and then Trey, you know, and those guys have made, a lot of plays. Trey being an ex-safety and making the plays that he did last year, I think, is phenomenal. So our room is just a great mix of, I think, energy, but guys also that's just smart football players and know how to play really good ball, even with, you know, the rookies and Blair and Ugo. You know, guys know football. I think that's what you've seen last week from those guys.
What does it take to be a good slot corner?
I think just patience. I think patience, knowing where your help is, and just being quick.
Who are some of the younger guys? I mean, you've been around and pretty experienced guy. Who stands out to you at receiver? Because it's kind of a battle going there. Who's a tough cover?
Well, young or older?
Either.
Well, you got to start off with T-Lock. I think, you know, he's one of the best in the game. You know, me and him have had some tough battles in camp, but that's what we're actually talking about today, just kind of going against one another, kind of what we're thinking. But you have to start off with him, and then you have to go with Demo. His releases are probably, you know, second to none. And then DK. DK is just, I mean, the guy's a beast. You know what I mean? When you walk past him, you're like, yeah, that's a receiver. You know what I mean? And he's going to bring a lot to the game, you know, this year and the years to come.
Do you ever say that you guard a receiver?
I say I cover.
Oh, thank
there you.
You thank
go.
You, JT. Yeah. What's with all the kids now that go, he's guarding. Tyler Lockett says that sometimes. He's guarding me. I'm like, this is not basketball, Tyler.
I like to use that.
They're not called guardages. They're called coverages.
Mostly to tease Dave, and he tends to get mad. So you provided him a little reinforcement
That's
there.
That's because he's old school guy.
All right, you were at Boise State, and so Chris Peterson here at Washington. He was at Boise State at the time. What was it like playing for him?
Coach Pete, that's my guy. Actually, my first week here, I went over the bridge and went to go see him. Then they came out to practice, I think, the following week. So playing for him was great. He teaches you how to be not only a player but a man. And I think that was the biggest thing, playing for him, because it was so much outside of football that he taught me about life and just the grind and just always putting your best foot forward. You know, I always miss that guy because he really did a great job.
What's something interesting about him that we wouldn't know that you would know and you can tell us?
I'm not sure, man. What you see is what you get with Coach Pete. What you see is what you get. He's never going to give you a good answer if you're interviewing him. I'm just going to let you know. He's always going to go around it. That's probably one thing. He's never going to give you the answer that you're looking for.
How come they always beat the Cougs?
Because it's Coach Pete. I just want them to win the big game.
It's my team, man.
I don't think Washington State's ever been that good, though.
In 2012, we beat them.
2012.
You want to know what he's gonna? We're about 10 seconds away from him explaining how they would have won last year's Apple Cup if it hadn't snowed.
Well, that's true. That is true. I'm pretty good at making excuses.
Can you use the weather to excuse a football game when it's your own home field where the weather occurred at? Like, it's one thing if it snowed somewhere else and you could say, "Oh, we weren't ready for the." It's where you guys play and it snowed.
Did you guys ever wear blue uniforms to try and confuse the opponent with the blue field?
No. At the end of the day, you cover the man in front of you, or you're tackling the man in front of you, or whatever the case may be. You got to beat the man in front of you. Everybody just used that excuse because we just used to whoop tail.
You did use to whoop tail.
Chris Peterson, we had him on the pregame radio show to raise the 12th man flag.
Yeah.
He was just like instantly, like, just the coolest dude. I mean, just very real. You could tell there's nothing like phony about him.
Yeah, just what you see is what you get.
Yeah,
and that's what you love about him. Like, if as a player, he'll tell you if you're playing like crap, and he'll tell you if you're playing really, really well. You know what I mean? And that's what I think a lot of players love most about him.
So there's an old wives' tale about the blue turf in Boise that geese would break their necks by land because they thought it was a lake. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Do you remember hearing that?
Yeah. Not true.
You get, there wasn't just dead geese scattered everywhere out there. All right, guys, before we stretch, let's get out there and
pick up some fowl.
The geese off the field.
You'll get geese poop.
Yeah.
But no geese, just dead. Just sitting there with the broken neck. No.
There's a fair amount of goose poop around Seattle as well. What drew you to Boise State? You're from San Diego.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Coach Pete, and then we had a coach, Marcel Yates. I think he's the defense coordinator at U of A right now. And he was the corner coach at the time. And he was like, look, you know, what do you want? And I was like, I wanted to be one of the top defensive backs in my class. And he was like, okay, well, I want to be one of the best DB coaches and send a ton of guys to the NFL. And he was like, and I'm telling you, one of the true freshmen are going to play. And I was like, bet, okay, sign it up. And I think they lost to, like, in the Hawaii Bowl that year. And I was like, I don't know if I'm making the right decision at that point. But still made decision to go. And, yeah, the rest of history, won a lot of games.
Yeah, ton of games. You were there with Jerron Johnson?
Mm-hmm. That was my roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were a good student there, too.
Yep.
3.5 GPA.
Mm-hmm.
What did you study?
I did communications for my BA, and then I started my master's in kinesiology.
Wow. No kidding.
What do you think? Looks like you're a married guy.
Yeah, married guy.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
3 years.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Kids or anything like that?
Kids. Have a daughter. 14 months, about to be 15 months.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah.
That help you settle a little bit? Having a wife and kid to go back to kind of brings it, sort of makes it real.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I always tell people marriage is great. You know, I know a lot of people get bad reputations about marriage. There's a lot of people say, you know, in our society today, everybody says it's horrible, but my wife is my best friend. It's pretty dope.
Good for you.
But at the same time, I've always been kind of centered. I've always been focused. So when I'm playing football, I'm not really doing anything else. It's football 24/7, you know, 365 or whatever the case may be. And then now that I'm married, only thing that's different, once I'm done here, once I get home, I just got to adjust my schedule a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you wear number 8 for any particular reason?
No, actually, if I make the team, I want 21, so I got to talk to JD about that. But, no, it's crazy. So I got 8, and then my pastor texted me and said it's like the number of, like, resurrection and, like, new beginnings. So I thought that was pretty cool when he told me that. So I was like, I'm going to just take advantage of it. But, if I make the team, I'll see if I could buy 21 from JD.
What does that run when guys, like, buy numbers from each other?
I've never had to do it. Miami, I wanted 21 from Brent Grimes, and he was not having it. Unless he could get 20 from Rashad Jones. So I wore 22. And then when I got to Cleveland, I got 21 right away. And
oh, nice.
Patrick Peterson was not giving up 21 at all either. So.
Okay.
How much would you pay for a
what
number?
Are we talking about numbers-wise here?
Hopefully nothing too crazy. You know what I mean?
We're talking tens of thousands?
It can be. Some places it can be.
It could, but not this guy.
Not you.
I have a daughter. She'll probably be like, what are you doing?
Number's not that important.
It's not that important. You know what I mean? But if I can, that's the number that I do want.
When I covered the Sonics, traded for Ray Allen, who wore 34, and it was a guy named Reggie Evans who was here, who was an undrafted rookie. He was one of the toughest dudes I've ever seen play basketball. But Reggie was like, I'm going to double my salary, because Ray was making like $15, $16 million a year at that point, and I think he got upwards of $50,000 for his number.
I've had guys pay like $5,000, $10,000 for a number.
It's a lot of loot for a number.
$50,000, I mean, that's...
You know what you could do with that money?
You got a girl coming up, that's like at least 1 year of school.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
That's why it's not happening.
Yeah.
College fund already started.
Yeah, put it in the college fund. Yeah.
I'll have my in-laws talk to you, though. My wife's parents, 8's their favorite number. They got their address changed where they were living in Orange, the city of Orange, California, so it would have 3 8s in it, so it would be good luck. So they might pay you for your number.
That'd be nice. I need a little raise.
Got anything else for Jamar?
That's great, man. You look good out there, and it's great having you here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, go Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
We got Ashley
Broncos
here, Boise State guy.
Yeah, go Cougs. You got a dog?
Got a dog? Yeah.
Do you?
Yep. African Borbo.
A what?
An African Borbo.
Oh, really?
Like a Mastiff, yeah.
Oh, no kidding. How many pounds?
He's 130.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Those dogs are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you got a picture on the phone?
Oh, my phone, yeah.
Oh, you didn't bring it in, though?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll come by later, and we'll hang out, you and I.
All right, for sure.
I have a comm degree, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
I got you.
All right.
Jamar, thanks very much.
I appreciate you guys.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Dave, you made the point that Seattle's cornerbacks tend to be best when they're homegrown. It's the one position that I think consistently Seattle has been the best at finding. not just even drafting at high-end positions. The highest they've drafted a cornerback is Shaquille Griffin in the third round.
Yeah.
But you look at the number of corners that they've had come through here. Richard Sherman, fifth round. Byron Maxwell, sixth round. You had Jeremy Lane, sixth round pick.
Deshaun Shedd, free agent.
Yeah, the number of guys that they've gotten that have either here or elsewhere really turned around. And Justin Coleman should be added to that list. He wasn't drafted by Seattle, but Seattle got him for nothing.
Yeah.
And they basically got him for nothing.
And turned him into a $9 million a year player.
Unbelievable. And now the challenge isn't, they're going to miss Justin Coleman, but I don't think anybody feels that, you know what, you should assign him to that money. It's like,
no.
Go out there and find another guy. Find that kind of value, because that seems to be the one renewable resource that Seattle consistently does have.
Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't agree more. And that you're right. I mean, I was really bummed about Justin Coleman. But then when you saw the number, it's like, why would you do that if you're pretty confident that you can develop somebody else? And, you know, again, Akeem King, maybe JT there is the guy. He said he doesn't mind playing anywhere. Maybe it's Ugo Amadi. Who, you know, the rookie out of Oregon. So, yeah, it's really, that's something that I think Pete should get more credit for than he does, because it's his system and it's his defense. And, you know, I've talked to some of the corners before, and they said he comes out and coaches them up a lot. So a lot of the coaching comes right from him. Pete was an old defensive back himself, and then he coached DBs for a lot of his career. So, yeah, that's it's just one where I don't mind having faith in those guys. I mean, if they're – we talked about this earlier. In these competition battles, are there resumes? Not really. You know, same thing at D-line. Ziggy Ansah is the only one that has a resume. You could say maybe Cassius Marsh, but he has 11.5 sacks, 5.5 of them last year. But in all these position groups, there's not a lot with resumes, you know, with proven NFL backgrounds. But I don't worry about that ever at defensive back, you know, at corner especially.
No, you guys are right. I was just looking real quick at some of these guys. Nico Thorpe, undrafted. Akeem King was drafted by the Falcons in the seventh round. And so it's rare to see a guy like Jamar Taylor be a second rounder in 2013 show up here. Even Kalen Reed, he was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft by the Titans in 2016. So, yeah, and yet you look at these guys and you think, man, they're all quality guys. It's a heck of a competition that's shaping up there at the nickel corner spot.
Man, you see this, it's a Mastiff is his dog.
Mm-hmm.
These things are huge. Big old muscled up, strong dogs. But, yeah, we found out a lot about him, Jamar Taylor. He's a married guy, a couple kids, was born in the same city as myself. He's went to Helix High School, which was my parents' high school, and just really nice kid, really good guy. And it was interesting hearing from him, too, about, you know, what we talked about with Pete Carroll, that they, you know, not everywhere do they encourage the veterans to help the rookies out. And, you know, it's funny. Ashley and I were waiting for him for a long time. I think he was like one of the last three guys off the field, Ash.
We got a lot of sun.
Yeah, we were sitting there waiting for him. But he was out there, and DK Metcalf was kind of kneeling down on the ground. And then Tyler Lockett was there, and then Jamar Taylor. And, you know, he said it turned into kind of a therapy session that, you know, and that's so awesome to hear that from. I mean, I just can't imagine what that would be like. You know, as a rookie, having a bad day and having, and now Keith Butler, I'll say he took good care of me, and, you know, he would coach me up. But just in general, you don't get a lot of support from the veterans, and that's what you get here. And it's really smart by Pete, because look, the young guys are going to help you win games. So why would you hide anything from them? So unless you thought, well, if I give this guy a bunch of information, he might, you know, surpass me, maybe take my job or something, but it just never comes into play. Remember Ugo Amadi? He said he couldn't believe Bobby Wagner walked right up to him, knew who he was, and welcomed him and said hello. And, you know, can I do anything for you? Have you found a place yet? I mean, that kind of thing happens all the time there. And that's what he was doing out there with DK Metcalf, just kind of counseling him there.
How do you feel DK Metcalf's training camp's going? I think he's obviously someone that everybody's super interested in. He's probably even more than LJ Collier. Even before LJ Collier got hurt, DK Metcalf is the most spotlighted rookie because his size, his speed, the position he plays. I mean, I think there are a lot of factors. Everybody loves a new wide receiver.
Well, and a big-bodied wide receiver, too, and he is that. But also, you know, there was kind of the thought that he was passed over, right?
Yes.
I'm sure he had people telling him he was going to go in the first round.
It's really, if you think about Seattle's draft, if Seattle had picked DK Metcalf in the first round, where they picked Collier, and then either picked Collier or Blair in the second round, and then the other guy in the third round, their draft would have been viewed extremely differently. Because everybody would have said, oh, that makes sense. They got this big play wide receiver. It's great value for them.
No Doug Baldwin anymore. Yeah.
Because they didn't take Metcalf until the end of the second round, which they traded up to get him. There was almost this sort of...
Why do you think he dropped, though, Danny?
Because I don't think his production... I mean, I think that teams get into that. You look at the measurables, and his speed and his size and the impression he made at the combine... And I think that that prompts everybody to go back and look at his film and his tape and say, why wasn't he more productive in college then?
Well, and he broke his neck right at the end of the season. I think that was probably part of it. And he's just very raw. I'm sure when the scouts are looking at the film, they're like, you know, he's not running precise routes. He's not, you know, I guess somebody said he would line up with his hands on his knees, you know, just really like, I don't know. Sometimes you don't. I'm not saying the Ole Miss coaches are bad. It's just that they don't coach up the details that the NFL players. Did you guys see on Hard Knocks with John Gruden? There's a chart of the field, and they have different little names for like the outside 10-yard line, and then you know, or I'm sorry, the outside 10 yards of the width of the field. It was like split or something like that. But they have all these. Designated part in it, and on top of it, it said, know the field, know your terms or whatever. So the NFL, you know, you get in there as a receiver and the numbers are different. The hash marks are different. There's all kinds of different spots on the field. Plus, that's Kevin Norwood told us that. He's like, just that. But then also, you know, when you run a route, it's got to be, if it's a 5 yard in, it's got to be five. It can't be 5.5. It can't be 4.5. So all of those little details, I think he was raw in that he wasn't getting that kind of coaching. He was just going out for passes, and they were throwing him the ball, and he was having success. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hard for rookie receivers to get it. But I think he's in a slump right now. You know, he started off the talk of camp, and it was well-deserved. After about the first week, I was tired of hearing the hype, but then you saw all of a sudden the practices he was having, and it's kind of fallen off a little bit. And, you know, in the game – did he have a catch in the game?
He had one.
He had one.
One catch. And
he
then
had one that was called back. It was a little screen pass that was called back.
Yeah.
Because of a penalty.
And then he had a couple that would have been spectacular catches, and he didn't make them. And then, you know, he's been okay in practice, but I think he's probably expecting more. But I love that those guys were there talking to him, and I'm sure they'll talk him out of it because the guy is a fantastically talented player, but In the meeting that we had with him, he was like, okay, I've seen, in college, I've seen them change coverages before the snap, but not during the snap. And that was the thing. He was being very humble about like, wow, I've seen things here at the pro level that I've never seen before. So it's all kind of new to him. And, you know, it's not just going out for a pass like it was at Ole Miss. So I think that's, everybody goes through that, and especially for rookies. So it's nice at least he's getting help from two pretty good sources there, Jamar Taylor and Tyler Lockett.
Well, on the other side of the ball, the Seahawks defensive coordinator Ken Norton answered questions, and there's one name you need to keep an eye on up front. That's next on Danny, Dave, and More.
This is Danny, Dave, and More.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle Sports app.
All right, we got some stuff. It's fun to hear Ken Norton talk, if only because he's got an awesome voice. But no, he ran through some things today, and let's start with Cody Barton, who's gotten some opportunities out there with the first-string defense. Here is Ken Norton on his new rookie linebacker.
He's pretty good. You know, he's special. He's really smart. You know, you can't give him enough information. He's always trying to get more and more, and he has this great ability to take all the information, make it work for him on the field at a very young age. Usually rookies have a little slower process of diagnosing and understanding, but he's sharp, he's quick, so he's going to help us out early.
You talked about his first 2 weeks, Barton's first 2 weeks of training camp, being some of the best you've ever seen, like the best start to a training camp. What did you see in the game, and how has he looked since then?
Well, I think in the game he got a little bit lost in the early part, but then you know, you saw some really good things. remember the first run, the long run, that they ended up stuffing him or held him to a field goal, but it was in the first quarter. It looked like he just hesitated to fill his gap. And, you know, he almost took like what looked like a pass drop. And then he realized it was a run and tried to get up there. But then after that, like it was night and day, like in the third quarter, you know, I would compare a linebacker sometimes to like a running back, you know, when they have a stretch play and the running back has a number of, you know, holes that he can hit, you know, whether it's up in the C gap or way outside or whatever. I saw him kind of shuffling behind the offensive or his defensive line and then just shoot through a gap and make a tackle for no loss or for no gain. So it was nice to see him sort of improve, but in the beginning he was just a little bit lost. So, but yeah, I've seen him make so many plays out there, and especially in the passing game, you know, and obviously you can't see much in the run game because they don't have pads on most of the time, but some of the things and his knowledge of how to crowd receivers and what kind of things they're trying to do to him. And like Ken Norton said there, he is always talking, always. You see him on the sidelines. We did the Pop Keeney, scrimmage up there in Bothell, and he wasn't playing in that scrimmage, but he was standing next to veteran players and just constantly talking to them and asking them questions and trying to absorb. And like Ken said, he is able to take information and implement it into practice. So pretty impressive. I want to see him take a step. I'm really excited to see Ben Burkervin this week too, because he really moves well around the football field. So, but yeah, Barton he's something else. And that's pretty high praise from Ken.
Yeah, it is.
Ken was a really good player.
Ken was an awesome player.
I mean, he multiple Pro Bowls. I always want to go to like those young guys. Go, do you know who's coaching you, man? This guy was, and he won Super Bowls with two different teams, like back to back years.
I believe he's the only player to play in three straight Super Bowls.
Is he?
I believe he's the only guy straight. Because he went either from San Francisco to Dallas.
I think it was from Dallas to San Fran.
So one back to back with the Cowboys, and then went to San Francisco,
yeah,
where he won a Super Bowl with them. I think he's the only guy to win three straight Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I always think of his dad. Whenever I hear from Ken Norton, I always think about his dad, the fighter, and the fights that he had with Ollie. And he was a heck of a heavyweight fighter.
Ken Norton also asked about another linebacker, Shaquem Griffin.
Just his confidence. He really understands he can play at this level. He has a big amount of speed. The guy is really fast, and he understands what he does best. And just watching him learn how to use his speed, and he's really smart, and combine that speed with his brain, it's amazing to see the things he can get done. So we're very happy with his development.
If only you could combine my speed with my brain. That wouldn't help at all.
One of them would be lagging.
Yes.
Your brain
actually maybe
much more highly functional than your legs.
That's a very low bar. Like you talk about faint praise, to be smarter than I am fast doesn't tell you much of anything.
Well, Dave, John Clayton wrote for 710sports.com, seven Seahawks that kind of need to pop and get going in the preseason. He mentioned Lano Hill, Jacob Hollister, CJ Procise, Nas Jones, Paxton Lynch, Keenan Reynolds, and John Ursula. But you can add Shaquem Griffin to that list, can't you?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, it's like we talked about Ben Burkervin, Cody Barton, Austin Kalitro. I mean, that might be the guy that it comes down to, either him or Shaquem Griffin. I feel like they can cut Shaquem Griffin and pass him on to the practice squad. So at least he'll still be here, because I do worry about how that affects Shaquille. I mean, they just came off this offseason where they went around the country selling the book about, you know, how close they are as twins, and you know all about that, Jim, with twin boys. I mean, it's, and especially these guys, you know, and what they've gone through. So, and I'm just wondering if other teams are willing to take. I wonder where he would have gotten drafted, because he was drafted in the fifth round, right?
Mm-hmm.
If any other teams would have drafted him, because he's a fantastic player.
He had a great start. His tackle on special teams was awesome.
Yeah.
He went down on the opening kickoff and smacked the guy at about the 16th.
Yeah, and didn't he, like, he went full speed and kind of tripped him up. And, yeah, I mean, that's really hard to do. You're going down full speed, and all of a sudden, you know, guy puts a juke on you, can look really dumb. And then he flew down on a punt, too. So, yeah, it's still out there for him, you know, and I still think he can make the team, but it's just going to be a battle the way Kalitro's playing.
Do you want to hear what Norton looks for in a blitzer, or do you want to hear a name that you need to know on the defensive line? Which one first?
Blitzer.
Here it comes. Ken Norton, what he looks for in a blitzer.
It's a combination. understanding the call, understanding the play clock, understanding your timing, knowing the call really well. And it's so many things that come into being a good blitzer that it's not just one. It's a combination of things working together.
It's kind of interesting because there is a knack for that. And Bobby Wagner has it. And a lot of it is timing. Also, it's selling it, you know, where a lot of guys will disguise, I should say, disguise the blitz so they don't know you're coming. So that to me is something you almost can't put into words. But like he said, there's all kinds of different things. Why is it that Bobby's so good at that? I mean, he's fast. I think he uses space really well. And that's the thing. That's the difference between a sack and a pressure sometimes is, you know, when a guy comes on a stunt where he has to kind of bend, you know, if you see like a yard between him and the offensive lineman, then he's probably not going to get there. But the guys that like get in real tight or what I call stingy with the space, they know that it matters. Those are guys that are going to get there. And I think Jacob Martin has that. Frank Clark did. I remember in the day, Rufus Porter. I mean, the way he would lean and try to get every inch of the field, you know, to his advantage. And I think that's what one of the things that Bobby does.
I just look at it. I'm looking at Bobby's stats right now. He had 5 sacks in 2013, 4.5 sacks in 2016. The last 2 years, though, just 1.5 in 2017 and 1 last year. I'd like to see him unleash Wagner and just go. But I know there's a downside to that, too, Dave, if you're sending him too often.
Well, and he's so good in coverage that, you know, he can cover pretty much anybody. I mean, Bobby can run with, you know, when we've asked guys on the team who's the fastest, Bobby Wagner's name has come up. I mean, that's the kind of athlete. I don't know about anymore now that he's approaching 30, but in the early years, yeah, he's got a tremendous speed. So you're missing something there if you're sending him. You know, I saw Kendricks and KJ over working with Clint Hurt on pass moves today and just doing all the hand stuff and kind of almost like, you know, jujitsu or karate, as I call it.
How does Bob like that when you
tell him? He doesn't like that. Bob, I said, yeah, you know, you're a karate guy. He's like, I've never done karate in my life. And I go, oh, well, what do you do? He's like, jujitsu. I'm like, well, it's all the same to me. It's all karate, right? Judo chop. No, I don't want to offend Bob because he's a black belt.
You kind of do want to offend Bob.
No, I just think it was
You
funny.
Want to needle him a little bit.
No, I love Bob. So
Could
anyway.
You take Bob? That's what I got to know.
No, when? Like 20?
You say when.
Me 20 years ago or me now? Bob's probably close to my age. Maybe not. I don't know. We don't know how old Bob is.
Bob
he's timeless.
He is. He is Bob a timeless.
He's his own time capsule.
I would always say I'm not going to use any jujitsu. What I'm going to do is back up about 5 yards and tackle him. I know I can do that.
Get a running start.
Just try to get the crown of my head where all that CTE rests and put it right into his chin. But anyway, I don't. Bob and I will never be in a fight. I love
like
Bob.
Like each other too much. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Oh, wait. We didn't hear about the D-lineman.
Let's do that next.
Let's do it next, Danny. That's a great tease. I stumbled into it.
That's next on Danny, Dave, and Moore.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
5 o'clock refresh brought to you by Frostburg Coors Light. We told you we're going to give you a name you need to watch on the defensive line. Comes from Ken Norton. Here it is.
Tough. Takes a lot of space.
Oh, wait. He didn't say his name. It's Brian Monet.
Tough. Takes a lot of space. Strong. Really good knockback. And he's a guy that he's another guy competing. He has a really good chance to make this team. We're excited about what to see in the near future.
It's kind of funny, you know, that he hasn't been talked about that much. But you see him making plays every once in a while. And I'm like, should I get to know this guy? I mean, sometimes you don't want to. Like, they bring these guys in, and you're like, you know, they're probably not going to work out. But, Monet, that was nice to hear that.
He is, like Jazz Ferguson, a really high-profile recruit in college.
Uh-huh.
He went to the University of Michigan, which probably made it painful for our next guest.
Ooh.
Okay, Mr. The Ohio State over there.
I am the intern.
That's
Whoa!
Right. Nishant Kondapudi is with us.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yep. Better than anyone else has.
Are
in
you
recent
sure?
History.
Yeah. That's not very. Right.
Yeah. It's Nishant Kondapudi. Yeah.
Must not be a very high bar. Who is a student at Ohio State?
Yep.
A graduate of Newport High School?
No, I went to Lakeside.
Lakeside. Yeah, graduate of Lakeside High School. Yeah. He's been our intern. He's been absolutely fantastic. And the only intern, I believe, did he call you Mr. Wyman? He said,
Well, he asked what to call me, and I told him, call me Mr. Wyman.
Or sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, I call him sir.
That's not what happened. Anyway, he's been the best intern we've had.
It's been fantastic. You chopped up all of the Ken Norton sound. What would you say you've learned during your time here in Neshant?
I mean, I learned a lot, like having everybody here be cool resources. I mean, everybody, you can go through this room, like from Jim, I learned how to ask the tough questions to any interview.
What'd you learn about that?
Well, I learned that, you know, you have to be true to who you are when you're asking questions and you can't back down.
That's not the piece of advice he gave you. What did he say? Very specifically.
When do you ask the tough question?
At the end of the interview.
Yes.
Correct. At the end, tail end of the interview.
Yeah, in case it goes poorly.
Neshant comes and asks Jim, he goes, well, how do you tactfully ask the difficult questions? So I went and rounded up everybody I could find, and I was like, come here. Somebody just asked Jim how to tactfully ask a question.
I don't know tact.
Yeah. I mean, from Danny, I learned how to channel my hatred for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
That's good.
Into media. Yeah, it was great. We have a shared love for the Seattle Supersonics. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, that's like my passion in life. And then from Sir... I learned that
Sir Wyman.
From Sir Wyman. I learned a lot about football. He actually took the time to teach me a lot about defensive coverages and everything, just like the real nitty gritty stuff that I geek out about kind of. So it was incredible. And then also, like, Ashley has been teaching me stuff about producing this whole time as well. And, you know, everyone here in the office has been so great.
You also learned...
Sean's going to run this place someday.
He could if he wants to. Yeah, I would encourage him to set his sights higher than just this little operation. You also learned the proper fighting technique when your opponent has a ponytail.
I did. I think you're supposed to grab the ponytail and then hit him.
Yes, correct.
With an uppercut. Right?
Use it as uppercut, if it were a handle.
Yeah, it's a handle, really.
It's easier if you're bigger than the other person, Neshant.
Well, that's never going to happen for me, so might have to create a new fighting book.
Did he learn that from listening to the show, or was that off the air you were giving him
tips? Just asked me.
Solid half hour ago.
I hope we haven't corrupted the young man.
I know.
He's going to go back and, you know, start drinking and cussing and starting fights at the Ohio State University.
I will say this. One of the coolest things was watching when you saw Nick Vinette.
Oh, yeah, at training camp. So Nick Vinette went to the Ohio State University, and he was kind of walking into the facility, and so I was just like, we kind of get trained at Ohio State to, like, respond O-H-I-O. So I kind of just was like, why not? And so I was like, hey, Nick, O-H. And he just automatically, like, viscerally just went I-O and then came and started talking to us. So it was pretty cool.
It was
fantastic. You've been really – it's been a fun summer to have you here. It's been very enjoyable.
However much fun it's been for you guys, it's been way more fun for me. Like, I can't – this experience has been incredible.
And he bought us shot glasses at the end. Can you believe
that's
that?
That's right. Really, really
nice guy.
Cougar shot glass here. So when you grow up and when you get out of school, do you want to do play-by-play, or what is it exactly you want to do?
I haven't really figured it out. I know it's something to do with sports. I am interested in a lot of different things, like journalism and, you know, media, everything. At Ohio State, like, I got a little bit of experience with broadcasting for student radio. So, yeah, play-by-play and color and stuff is really fun. This is also really fun as well, like... just being able to talk and, like, share your thoughts to people and them actually caring about them is crazy. So
don't worry, Neshant.
And
nobody
when I say you, I mean
us.
Me.
Nobody cares about us on our listeners.
So it might be a dream of yours to follow in my footsteps, then?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much. Hear that, Dave?
Jim actually told me, like, a couple
What's
minutes
he gonna
ago.
Say? Like, no?
He said a couple minutes ago that I reminded him of a young him. It was a very big compliment for me.
And I said, don't kill his spirit, Jim. Yeah. Good Lord.
Seriously, did you just take a look at Jim and think, like, that's what's in store for me? Like, that's what lies
hilarious.
Ahead?
He's hilarious.
Neshant will be burned out by the time he's 62. Yeah. Trust me. No, I always, like, I love having job shadows and being around interns because it does remind me. I know it's hard to believe for any listener out there, but, like, when I was, what are you, 20?
19.
When I was 19, I was fired up. I was a go-getter. I know I don't come across that way anymore, but
I've worked around you and with you for 25 years, and I've never seen any different energy level than the one you currently possess.
You've never seen the go-getter energy level?
No. As a matter of fact, one of the first times I remember interacting with you is when we worked at different papers and you called me because we were working on the same story and you wanted to know when mine was running because you didn't want to hustle home and have to write it if I was waiting a day.
Well, that's being resourceful.
It was not. It was asking.
I probably had a round of golf that day.
It was a story on Cody Webster, who was a little league hero.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Cody Webster.
And you heard, and somebody, I told one of the other reporters, Bud Withers, and he's like, well, did you answer him? I was like, yeah, I told him. He's like, yeah, you probably should have lied to Jim.
Oh. Well, most people wouldn't be proud of that story, but I am.
You didn't lie to him?
No, I told him the truth. Nice. I was like, nah, I'm writing it in a couple days. He's like, good. Maybe he's going to the mustard seed.
Yeah.
Nishant. It's been fabulous to have you here.
Thank you so much.
It's really been fun. We really enjoyed it, and we hope you've had a good time too.
I'm going to brag so much when I get back to school. You guys don't even know.
Yeah, and you're going to say, I'm on the Danny, Dave, and Moore show, and they'll go, who? Who? What?
Well, that's when I grab their ponytail.
See, the young man has been corrupted here. Don't do that.
I'm going to grab
don't
his ponytail.
Didn't even skip a beat.
It's Danny David Moore. Nishant, you're awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nishant. Yep.
Thank you. Go Hawks. Go Sonics. Bring them back.
John Clayton next.
OH.
IO.
Wow. You sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It is time to find out what we've learned. Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Ashley!
Gents!
There we go. Yeah. You like that?
I do like gents.
I appreciate that you called me out on the text, our text thread, to figure out what we were talking about today.
Yeah,
Jim
I missed
like,
that.
You need to say gents next time you refer to us, please. I was like, I can do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's an Ashley thing to call us gents. I like it.
For sure. All right, guys. We got a couple things we learned. First, we learned that Danny... he's got a towel for Jim's book of philosophy.
Forever. What would the book on your philosophy be called?
Cover forever.
Nope, I've got the answer. The answer is win sometimes, parentheses, unless it snows.
Yeah, help us out, Ashley. Come on, that wasn't even funny. No one is laughing.
I am laughing.
509, no one in the 509 is laughing.
I
loved being in the 509 the last 2 days.
Oh, did you?
Oh, man. Brewster and Pateras.
I like
Chelan,
Brewster.
Chelan, Wenatchee. Like it was awesome.
Danny.
Apples everywhere.
That was excellent.
That wasn't that good.
What was missed in there was Danny going, I like Brewster.
Do you like Brewster? Have you been to Brewster?
Yeah, a couple
times. What do you like about Brewster?
I like that it's right on the Okanagan.
Yeah, it's
right there on the Okanagan.
Beautiful there.
Brewster Packing used to
have
a fantastic summer basketball team. Danny Parisot played there.
Yeah.
Danny Parisot is one of my favorite in-state players.
Hmm.
Went to Shadle Park, Spokane, then he went and played at Eastern Washington. He looked like a little Muppet. He had this little bowl cut, and he lit up Garfield 1 year in the state tournament. It was awesome.
You know who I thought of when I drove by Chelan High School? You'll get this. Who would I think of driving by Chelan High School?
The kid that went to Virginia?
Yeah. Joe Harris. He's in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe's a great player.
A Chelan goat is in the NBA.
Yeah. He's the goat.
I can't even. Chelan goat. Sorry.
We learn anything else?
We did, Dave.
We can
just sustain
substitute awkward,
teacher. Come on.
We can sustain awkward pauses.
Sorry, I was still
the Raiders.
Laughing.
Raiders are off to an early lead.
What's the score?
I can't say.
The Peter Man?
Oh, boy. Okay, we also learned that Jim played an impressive 54 holes of golf yesterday.
Generally, people don't get more energized as they get older, so you're looking for like a second wind of enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Hold on. I think I'm getting my second wind.
All right, listen.
65 years old is all right,
I don't
give
care.
Him hell.
Did anybody else play 54 holes of golf yesterday?
Ooh.
Huh? Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't care what age you are.
Did you have a cart?
Coors Light text line.
Did you have a cart?
Are you 22? Did you play 54 holes of golf yesterday?
Did you have a cart?
Well, yes, I had a cart.
Okay,
yeah,
then.
I did.
So you drove your cart up to your ball.
Well,
and you stepped out of the cart. You took a swing, and then you sat back down into the cart.
Yeah, and I had a Coors Light with me, too. So what did we learn there?
We learned that you tried to brag about 54 holes of golf.
Right.
If we hung around a little bit more, we'd find out that the final 18 were on a putting course.
That's true. But there were a lot of undulations that you had to walk up and over. And you couldn't use a car there.
Yeah. It was dark.
It was dark, so you were using your cell phone to light the way.
That's right. Yeah.
Somebody asked why you didn't go to Desert Canyon.
I saw that. I thought about that. I drove by Desert Canyon, went by Orondo today, yeah. And I don't know. I hadn't really heard about Desert Canyon in a while, but next time.
All right. We also learned that JT, Jamar Taylor, he solved a mystery for us. It's called being covered, not guarded.
Do you ever say that you guard a receiver?
I say I cover.
Oh, thank
there you.
You
thank
go.
You, JT.
Yeah. What's with all the kids now that go, he's guarding. Tyler Lockett says that sometimes. He's guarding me. I'm like, this is not basketball, Tyler.
I like to use that.
They're not called guardages. They're called coverages.
Mostly to tease Dave, and he tends to get mad. So you provided him a little reinforcement
That's
there.
That's because he's old school guy. Yeah.
Good for him.
That's right. Define the correct nomenclature.
That's right.
I'm with you on that one. You guard in basketball, right. You cover in football.
Absolutely.
Why would it be any different? Why can't you guard someone? You're guarding them.
You just do it to be annoying. That's the only reason.
Can you cover someone in basketball?
Yeah, tough cover. If there's a guy that's a difficult defensive assignment, he's a tough cover.
I don't think so.
Yep.
In basketball, it's guard. You're guarding.
It's a tough cover.
Okay, I've used both as a coach.
You say tough cover.
Yeah, you're a basketball coach,
I've
Ashley.
Said I use guard more.
Yeah.
In the sense of, like, I'm specifically pointing out you need to guard this girl. Like, I won't necessarily say, like, you need to cover this girl. I'll be like, you need to cover the passing lane or something like that.
Yeah.
Mainly use guard.
Do you ever say score the basketball? I don't like that one at all.
Yeah, what's
with
that?
No, I just say you need to score.
Yeah, score the basketball is dumb nomenclature.
That is really dumb.
It's just pointing everything out that doesn't need to be.
It's same as, and now I've heard he really knows how to rebound the basketball. Like, what else would you rebound in the game? Like, is there something else that you would
I don't know.
It would always be the basketball that you would rebound.
Hopefully, it's just the basketball and not another player. That'd be unfortunate.
How about the quarterback position?
Yeah, it's
you like that one too.
Like the Ohio State, one of those.
I don't like the Ohio State.
I do have some other questions. Why are blitzes always dialed up? Yeah. Like, they're never phoned in. Nobody's dialing anything anywhere on the football field. Like, there's no, not even when they had the old school headsets, but he dials up a blitz. And if a running back is reeling off consecutive large chunks of yardage, what's he doing to the defense?
Gashing.
He's gashing the defense. He's gashing the defense.
Yeah.
Like, we have so many, like, specific, if a starting pitcher throws more than 15 pitches, he's laboring.
Yeah. You know what I contend secretly is that I made up the phrase matchup nightmare.
Matchup really? Nightmare.
So I remember saying that, and then all of a sudden I heard it everywhere. Oh, I thought Brock Huard might be the one that took it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm mostly kidding.
Matchup nightmare. That's my
I'm
line.
I'm mostly kidding.
I like the part where you're not mostly kidding.
We learned anything else, Ashley?
We got one more. Finally, we learned, and will still forever learn, that Jim will always defend his beloved Cougs.
How come they always beat the Cougs?
Because it's Coach Pete. I just want them to win the big game.
It's my team, man.
I don't think Washington State's ever been that good, though.
In 2012, we beat them.
2012.
Do you want to know what he's going to... We're about 10 seconds away from him explaining how they would have won last year's Apple Cup if it hadn't snowed.
Well, that's true.
Jamar Taylor doesn't know what he's talking about. Washington State's not very good. We've been really good with Mike Leach there.
That's right.
So
did you guys play Boise much? Is that like a little bit of a...
No, we haven't that much.
Seems like it should be more of a rival.
It should be year in, year out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because it's pretty close. So, yeah. Anyway.
Go Broncos.
Yeah. Go Cougs.
That's going to do it for us. We do want to thank Jamar Taylor for joining us. Ashley was a fantastic producer today. Brian was on the board. Nishant was our fantastic intern. We wish him well as he goes back to the Ohio State University.
And Brian was fantastic, too.
Yeah, Brian was on the board. Brian was unbelievable. He was working the ones and the twos.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. We're going to talk to you, next week on Danny, Dave, and More.